Welcome to Influential Visions. Here we interview futuristic leaders who share their deep industry knowledge and business experience with you, ensuring you have your finger on the pulse and your eyes wide open. Here is your host, Nathaniel Schooler.
Wow. Well, I am extremely privileged today to be joined by William Joseph Hill. He's an author, filmmaker, and an actor over in Hollywood. And he's a friend of my sister's, and I actually had the pleasure to meet him. And we practiced some kung fu when I was out there in 2019, which was fantastic. And he basically works in independent features, short films, television, and theater. But he's literally recently launched something called The Cyber Fighter, which is a book. It's also an audio book, and he's going to be putting that into play as a movie. And I'm super excited about talking about that. He's a lifetime martial artist like myself, and he's been involved with the movie industry his whole career. And we're going to talk about how the film industry has changed since the digital cinema revolution. We're going to talk a bit about AI technology, how he's leveled up his filmmaking, and what role he sees emerging AI playing in the creative arts, and whether people are going to stay in work or not. So thank you, Bill. I really appreciate you joining me. It's good to speak with you again.
Thanks, Nat. It's good to finally be on the show. I'm a big fan of your show. I listen to it all the time, watch it too when you have it on YouTube. So this is great. I remember when we met in person right before the pandemic, and it was a nice little workout session over there in West Hollywood Park. It was great.
It was cool. And I am so pleased that I started listening to your book. I'm big into Audible, and I literally just started listening to it today. And I'm like 2.5 hours into this book, and it's really exciting. I love the way that you describe things in there, and you really pull people into the story, and you can almost imagine yourself actually being there in that virtual world, going along with the story, you know. And we don't want to spoil it for anyone, but you know, this film that you are planning on building out, right? It's going to be amazing, because you're going to embrace all of this new technology, right? Because that's like your mindset. Like when I met you, like you have a real open mind to martial arts training, to life in general. And I think that makes you quite different to a lot of the people who I've met actually in the acting and the film industry, if I'm brutally honest, because I find some of them are they're very angry at the moment, aren't they, about AI and about technology. And do you think that they have the right to be angry? Do you think that they're worrying about nothing? What's the sort of word on the street there over in Hollywood about that?
It's difficult, because I think a lot of people who, you know, because I've been in this business since the 90s, so I witnessed this pivot. And it's taken, I mean, it's like a quarter century now, like 25 years when digital video first came out. And I was in this indie production, they were shooting on a Canon XL1. And that was when the digital video was the digital videotape. And I was looking at the monitor and I was like, that looks like film. It doesn't look like video. I'm like, and I would tell like my actor group, guys, this is going to be the next big thing. It's like, and George Lucas, like, you know, when he was doing the prequels and what he was doing, and everybody's, well, this, and I would catch right on to what he was doing and go, oh my God, it's all going to be on the computer, which means eventually I'll be able to do this without having to have all this expensive equipment. Because at the time when it was still on film, Hollywood was, you needed a flatbed, you needed an optical printer to do compositing, you needed all of this expensive stuff. And it's gradually moved to like, I can do everything on a laptop. And so I saw this back then. And so for me, it was just a matter of like, what can I buy at Best Buy to like achieve my vision? Was as a kid, the best I could do was like the home video camera or Super 8, or, hey mom, can I borrow the VHS, both decks and copy? And it was just like very clunky. But I think a lot of people that were in their power in the old Hollywood, like film and three networks on TV and everything, and they've lost they've watched their incomes go down, where those of us that have been on the outside never had that kind of an income. So for us, anything is better than nothing, which is, you know, so the people that have had something and are losing it are very angry. The people that don't understand it, they're kind of confused and scared. And they find AI to be this something to be afraid of, where it's like, okay, well, let me play with it and see what I think of it. But I have to, like, let me try this out and see what I can do. Cause if I can do what I want to do with it, and then it becomes a tool. It's like Photoshop. Like, everybody was complaining about Photoshop. Oh, it's going to get rid of, anybody can do it. It's like, well, yeah, technically anybody can do it, but only an artist can figure out, oh, if I use this tool and that, and it's the same thing with, I think, with AI.
Right. I'm towards your end of the opinion, to be honest. I think this disruption within technology, within life, within work has been going on for, you know, decades, right? And people, yeah, you know, hundreds of years since the Industrial Revolution, and I think it opens up opportunities that perhaps weren't there before. And I mean, I watch your series that you do with your lovely wife Pamela. That Darn Girlfriend, if anyone's listening to this on YouTube, it's on there, and I love it. And the way that you guys kind of bring an 80s spirit to that, and you make that yourselves, right? And it's really impressive. And, you know, and I think that it opens up most certainly the possibility of you guys creating a film without actually having lots and lots of production staff. You can create it yourself, and you'll be able to create something that's really captivating and really interesting, right? And, you know, so then the next level of it is well, how are we going to cope with them creating films that don't even have actors, right? I mean, because that's the next level, isn't it? It's like actually, yeah, some of these computer games now, you can go in there and talk to a barman in this computer game that is running on a database, on an AI database. And actually that guy's going to have a conversation with you, but actually he's not even real, right? But he reacts in real time. So the future, I mean, you could be the only actor in a movie in the future, which you create yourself, and you could be the guy that's actually, well, okay, I'm going to just go and have fun with this and see what happens. And I find the whole thing hugely exciting, to be honest.
Yeah, to me, it's, you know, a lot of people, they're talking about this is going to replace, but it's not. It's going to be something new, because video games, like, you know, I remember Space Invaders and all the, and the Atari, we had an Atari, then it went to Nintendo, and then the Sega, and then Nintendo 16. And when PlayStation came out, it was like, oh my God, this is a, and now you have, I think AI and what you're describing is going to be more for interactive entertainment. And I think that is going to be its own thing, to where I've put on the Oculus and I played around with, like, the Darth Vader, like, do, and it's like, you get chills when you're standing next to Darth Vader. He's like 7 feet tall, and you're, I mean, the only thing, you just don't feel the air breathing on you, but you're, everything else is just like your mind tricks you into believing that this is real. So I think that, but there's always going to be a place for traditional movies. I think people are going to, you know, traditionally there's a place for that. And I think, and speaking of, like, you know, people say, oh, you're not even going to see actors anymore. I'm like, yeah, but I think, especially like with a martial arts movie, you're going to want to see real people doing the fighting. This is why Jackie Chan, you can watch his stuff from like 40 years ago and it still plays, because it's like he's really doing that, as opposed to, you know, I love the Matrix series, but that burly battle in episode 2 where it was like all CG, I was like, eh, it's like,
yeah.
If I'm not controlling it like a video thing, then I don't care. But if I'm controlling it, it's cool. So that, I think that's where there has to be that interactivity, and then it'll like take a, but like just sitting back and watching it, no.
Yeah. I think it's going to raise the quality, in my opinion. I think that the weak performers, let's call them performers, are going to be the ones that are really suffering, whereby they get replaced by the people who use AI, who use all these amazing new tools. And I mean, that's going to be in every industry, right? In the business world, you know, executives in the business world, if they're not learning what is out there, I'm not saying they need to go and jump in and use ChatGPT and all these things. But what I am saying is they need to keep their eyes open. And it's the same. It's the same in this industry as well, right? So you've said a bit about how the film industry has changed and been disrupted since the digital cinema revolution. Was there anything else that you'd like to sort of add to that, Bill?
Yeah, I think in regards to tech, I mean, right now there's a big writer strike that's been going on, and one of their gripes is about AI replacing everything. And I've played around with ChatGPT, and it's like that in order to get it to actually replace the writer, the effort that you have to go into prompting and reprompting and prompting, it's like the old adage, like when Neil deGrasse Tyson says, like, with all that to fake the moon landing, it's actually easier to just go to the moon. And it says that it's actually easier to just write it yourself, because the time it takes to get the, oh, I got to craft the prompt to get it to work, and then you got the output that's like acceptable, you could have just written it yourself. But ChatGPT, from a writer's standpoint, I think has been helpful to me, because right now I'm working on the sequel for Cyberfighter. So when I want to come up with character names, if I want to come up with plot ideas, as brainstorming, you don't have, you know, if you're an individual like me and you don't have a writer's room with other writers, you're not collaborating with anybody, then this is great. It's the same thing as like back in the day, you know, a lot of writers, what they do to come up with their names is they'll get a baby book and they'll give like baby names or stuff like that. Or George Lucas would borrow from mythology and things like that. And that's where a lot of the, you know, as I was coming up in school and I'd hear, wait, Hoth? Oh, that's the snow planet. Or, you know, he'd talk about, I'm like, wait, that's actually, somebody from Indian mythology, from India. I'm like, oh, that's brilliant. You know, stuff like that. But it can help in that respect, I think.
Yeah, I think to get the quality that you are putting out there, from what I've experienced so far in this book, the difference between what you're putting out and what ChatGPT can create, it's like completely the opposite. Like, it's like ChatGPT's over here, like on a 2 out of 10, and what you're doing is a 10 out of 10 over here, as far as I'm concerned. You know, it's not often that I sit down and I'm actually captivated by an audio book to such a level that I don't want to turn it off. Like, I literally didn't want to turn it off. If I didn't have to jump on here and interview you, I would, and have a meeting afterwards, I would literally just carry on listening until the end, because I want to find out what's next, right? Like, I want to know what the hell's happening, like who's gonna die, who's gonna, you know, like it's just amazing. Yeah, absolutely amazing. And to create that sort of content is not, in my opinion, yes, you can do it with AI, but actually, I agree with what you're saying there. I think creating something that's really captivating, that's actually poised to fit the storyline that you've created, is extremely, extremely difficult. So how have you used technology to level up your filmmaking then, Bill?
Oh, that's a great question. So, you know, as I've been developing Cyberfighter for many years, and so it's always started off as a feature screenplay. So I always wanted to make a feature film out of it. And then at some point I realized, well, I can release the novelization early, because the original Star Wars, when it came out, the book came out in 1976. And it was like in the grocery stores, and what is this, Star Wars? But it didn't really take off till the movie. So I'm like going, okay, well, I put the book out there. And as I was doing it, originally I had gone through a lot of people that, you know, wanted to help, let's get this done. And it was going to be a lot more low budget. So we were looking for practical locations, and, you know, it was like, well, wherever you can, somebody's going to give you a location, that's where we're going to shoot it. We'll make it work. It'll just be in an office. And I remember, a director friend of mine and collaborator who I worked on his film, he read my script and he says, there's a lot of action happening in office buildings. And that was not a good thing. And I'm like, okay, I got to rewrite this. I got to make this more, appeal, because, you know, I'd written it like something that I could shoot. And so then I expanded it. Okay, I'll just expand it. And at some point, we'll get the budget to do this. Maybe a studio will pick it up and we can build all these sets. And then I did a film that the director, Pamela, my wife, and I had worked with him before. And he was like, oh, we're doing some pickup shots here in LA. We'd shot most of it in New York, but we're going to. And when I got to the set, it was just a backdrop. And it was a rear projection, like they did in the 40s. And they did it black and white. And the DP, and I was looking at the monitor, and it clicked. And I'm like, oh my God, I could do this. And I could build my locations in CG. And then at the same time, The Mandalorian was coming out and what they were doing with the volume and LED screens. And so what I've realized is Unreal Engine, which is free. Unless, and the only way, the way Unreal Engine makes their money, I think, is like if you're a game developer, you pay royalties when you release your game. But it's a brilliant business model because they've pretty much cornered the market on a lot of other competing 3D software. It's just kind of fallen out of favor because it's like everyone's switching to Unreal, everyone's learning it, and it's just the barrier to entry. There's no barrier to entry other than just watch a bunch of tutorials, get used to it, learn how it works, and you start to graduate. Don't try to do it all at once, but it's just
right.
it's a learning curve, but yeah.
So just for the people that don't know, because I don't know what that is that some sort of background simulation that you're putting in the back of something that you're shooting? What is Unreal Engine and what does it do at the moment?
So Unreal Engine is technically a game engine. So it's designed for video games. So not only is it your environment, and it will create. So when you're in a 3D software, the objects are called meshes. So it's like, that's just a mesh. Mm-hmm. And then you have texture maps and things on top of it and all. And Unreal Engine, basically it's that plus the camera, the virtual camera movement. It's, if you have like a character, you can have like characters and you can control the character. So it's basically, it runs the whole game. So you can program the entire game in Unreal Engine. What filmmakers have found Unreal Engine is great for is what they call virtual sets. So for example, like the moon base that you're on right now, it's just like you can build all of that in Unreal Engine and it would be animated, and you can shoot your live action on a green screen. And if the camera moves, you can also match it. There are facilities here in LA that actually do this live. So you can be on the stage green. So you're an actor and you're standing on this green screen stage. You look over at the monitor and they're compositing you in, so you know what it's going to look like in right then. Because normally you shoot it on a green screen and then it goes into post-production and you wait 6 months to see, oh, what's this going to look like? Or you have to use your imagination. But now It's like they can do it live.
Uh-huh.
It's amazing what they're doing now.
Wow. So it's basically speeding up the whole movie production process, right? So you can get something out, providing you can write it quickly, you can get it out there within a matter of weeks, right? As soon as it's, you know, as soon as you made the edits and the cuts, right, to the action parts of your film, you get it out there, right? As soon as you want, you know? So that's quite amazing. That's quite amazing. So what role do you see emerging AI playing in the creative arts? Or is it going to put people out of work? Because I know, you know, we've talked a little bit about this already, but what do you think about that?
Well, I think AI will definitely put some people out of work. So for example, in respect to visual effects. So if we're talking about the visual effects industry, and I think a lot of visual effects artists don't mind this, but DaVinci Resolve, it's a software, a video editing software that's also color grading, visual effects, sound editing, it does everything. Mm-hmm. I've pivoted to this. I'm starting to use this now. They have a wonderful tool called Magic Brush. And it basically, like for example, where I am right now, I can just draw over me and then tell, and the AI will calculate me, separate me from the background. Mm-hmm. And you could either like switch the background out, or a lot of times what you'll see is like when you see video where there's text behind somebody, mm-hmm. they're using AI to rotoscope. So before, you would have to literally manually rotoscope. And I've done manual rotoscoping and everyone hates it. It's like, that's the
job. Yeah, it's awful.
Oh, yeah. It's like, yeah, that's the entry level work. Like if you want to be a visual effects artist, mm-hmm. you start with Roto. Yeah.
It's awful.
So stuff like
it's dreadful.
Yeah, stuff like that will replace people. Yeah.
Right. Well, I think it's a good thing, to be honest, because who the hell wants to do that work? I mean, I'm not going to mention what tool I use here, but I spent some money on a tool that I've been using and I'm really not happy with it, to be honest. It's the biggest faff, like the biggest time suck ever. And I believe it's because they actually do some video editing as a service. So they want you to get fed up with it. So then you ask them to do it. And then they've probably got a different version of the software that they use for themselves, which is way easier, right? And this is something that, you know, I made a bit of a silly move buying this one tool. But, you know, it is what it is, right? That's why I try not to edit at all. I think, you know, what I do is I will edit a little bit because I think it's important. But it's very interesting to see how these softwares engage the audience, right? Because they know exactly a lot of these softwares. Once you get it down to a T, right? You can set it so that it will retain the audience for you, can't you? And it will actually, and it actually knows how to do that. And I find that fascinating, really, how to use Zoom and put in these special effects just to kind of keep people watching, which is fantastically interesting. It really, really is. So you are launching your movie fairly soon. There is a fundraising campaign that will be going out in the next few days, I believe, actually. It's probably, when I release this, it will be live. So if you want to support William's movie, you can, first of all, I recommend that you go and listen to the book on Audible if you like listening to books. Cyber Fighter is what it's called, two words. And, you know, or you can go and buy the book as well. And, you know, I'm actually blown away by it, to be honest. And I'm really excited to kind of see this hit the big screen. I think it's going to be super. And you're doing a short film first with a view to growing that into a bigger film. And then you're going to have a sequel to it, right? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, this is definitely, it's the minimum on this is like a trilogy. So I've got a trilogy planned and then there's an arc and the whole overreaching arc has to do with what is consciousness. It's like, it's where the Matrix kind of like gave me this, oh yeah, that's brilliant. And everything that's coming out in science news right now, especially with neural net and things like that, I'm like going, oh my God, at the time I first wrote it, this was all sci-fi. Now it's like realistic. So I don't even know if it can be qualified as science fiction anymore, but the short film, it's testing a lot of what I want to do workflow wise with the virtual production too, especially like doing fight scenes using Unreal Engine, like live action fight composited with a virtual gym set. So you don't have to like rent somebody's gym and spend all this money. Oh yeah, we have to close the gym. So you have to pay us like $5,000 a day to we'll just shoot it on a green screen.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah. I think it's fantastically interesting what they're doing there. And, you know, I think in terms of you know, filling people's brains with information, I mean, we're not that far off. Elon Musk has already created that neural link thing. I don't know exactly where we are with that, but I think it's going to be an interesting few decades, isn't it? By the time we're in our 60s and 70s, you know, we might decide that we want help remembering stuff, so we plug ourselves into this chip in our brain, which by then will be a minute little thing. And you know, I think it's very, very exciting. The whole future of life is exciting. And I want to thank you, Bill, it's been great. And I will put some notes if people want to check out the history, because you've got a whole long work history here. And you know, you've been in all sorts of films. You've been a mutant who fights with monkey kung fu, so that's quite interesting. I think it's this is going to be a really, really good movie. I can't wait to check it out. Really, I can't wait. So thank you, and yeah, I will pop some links to Will's website and all of that good stuff. And please do comment, like, and share this video. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Nat. It's great. That means a lot to me because you're definitely my target audience because you appreciate this tech, the sci-fi world, the action, all the good stuff. So it's like, oh yeah, the stuff I love. It's like connecting with people that share the same enthusiastic interest is like it means a lot. So thank you.
Thanks. Appreciate it very much.
Thanks very much for listening to Influential Visions. Please make sure you share this episode with your friends and business connections. And don't forget to drop us a review wherever you listen. Thanks.